Welcome to this special edition of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I've put together these Focus Extra shows, in addition to the regular weekly podcasts, in order to bring you all the conversations I recorded live at Focus on Imaging 2013. There's a lot to get through, so each recording will lead straight into the next. In this second edition, I'm talking with Lowepro Camera Bags and Cases, Broncolor Lighting, and Giotto's Tripods. As ever, you can check out all the show notes to this and all other shows at theactivephotographer.com. Once again, I am stood here with Tim Sadler at the Lowepro stand, and we have another exclusive for you guys, which is a new bag. But before we do that, Tim has changed his official capacity, and I can't remember what it is you do now, Tim. So what is your official status?
Well, it's another year, another focus. So I now look after Lowepro for Europe, the Middle East and Africa. 65 countries. It's a lot of responsibility.
That's a lot of places to be at one time.
I'm kind of omnipresent. Just think of me as your god.
I always do. And on that note, let's crash on. You guys may remember in previous years talking to Tim, it's always good fun, and we have this love-hate relationship. I love to interview him, he hates it. So what we have here is the Lowepro Flipside Sports 20LAW. You guys who saw my review of the Photosport 200AW, the bright orange bag, and also you may have seen the pre-review video I did of the Rover Pro 45LAW. You have too many letters and numbers in your bags.
They've all got AWs. You can drop that one off.
The AW stands for all weather. Tim obviously will explain this, but this is a kind of an exclusive for the show. This is a launch.
This is a global launch. So it's the first time anyone in the world has seen this bag. Certainly anyone in the public. It's the extension to the Flipside Sport family. So Flipside Sport 10 and 15Ls have been out for about a year now. They came out sort of in spring last year, not too long after Focus. And basically we've kind of extended the family to make an everyday camera bag. So it's a complete camera bag. It's not a split bag like the Rover or Photosport. But you can see it's this outdoor aesthetic. It's using the latest materials and technologies we know and building it into a camera bag. It's that classic size.
And you know, in conversation over previous days, I should say maybe as we record this, it's the last day of Focus.
Yay!
Everyone's feeling a little worse for wear. But there was a sort of just in discussion with Tim, I think, and some of his colleagues, saying that Lowepro, brilliant as they are and you know, reliable as they've always been, there was at one point this kind of, oh, Lowepro, they're the typical black camera bag.
Yep.
And so this is quite an extension for you to a development, this new design style.
We've been moving, you know, obviously we still have our classic black camera bags. We still have our Pro Runner family, our Flipside family, and our Vertex family. And, you know, they are the, I hate to use the cliches, but they're bread and butter of our collection. But more and more consumers are asking for colour. They're asking for dynamic bags, which are exciting. I know it's quite strange that I get excited about bags, but that's the world I live in. But people are spending a lot of time getting excited about photography and getting out there on the hill, just as you do, and a lot of your listeners do. And the bags aren't reflecting that excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look out there in outdoor shops or in sports shops, you know, the bags are exciting, they're colourful, they're actually showing the latest technologies. And camera bags for a long time haven't been doing that. We've had the technology sitting on the shelf, but it takes a long time to get it to market. You know, convincing a lot of people that when they walk into a camera shop, the bag wall is as exciting as the camera wall.
Yeah.
And this is just the latest incarnation of that dream, that thought.
living
the dream with Lowepro.
And but, I mean, that's one of the things that I picked up on immediately with the 200AW was that it does look like a typical rucksack, essentially, but it does have the protection.
Well, there's nothing typical about
it. Well,
that,
you know, right? What I mean. Yes, it doesn't look like a camera bag,
exactly.
Put it that way.
I mean, what we've done with the Flipside Sport 20 is we've reappropriated the size. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, in the, you know, we had the Mini Trekkers this mm-hmm. day, we had the Pro Runner 300s. You know, these are multi-award winning collections, which are defined around the size.
Yeah.
Within our outdoor collection of bags, these colourful new bags, we never actually had that similar size. Mm. So with a Flipside Sport 20, we have the size, but we have it in this new package.
Okay, well, let's look at a bit closer at some of the technical details.
Okay, if you look on the outside, along with the Flipside Sport collection, it's available in two colours. And I remember saying this last year, one mild, one wild. So we have Galaxy Blue.
Yeah.
It's still conservative, but it's still a little bit poppy. And we also have the awesome Low Pro Orange.
Yeah.
And I won't have a word said against it.
No, quite right.
You'll see, because it's more of this everyday camera bag size, it is a bit more square. So you do have this lovely front pocket, which has the ability to take a tablet, so iPad 2, you know, Nexus, Kindle, whatever you want to put in there, and other non-camera bits. You have extra little pockets for wallets, iPhone, and of course the ubiquitous trekking pole straps,
which for people like me is very handy. And you know, you'd say trekking poles, people that want to take monopods,
or indeed ice axes.
Yes.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. I did actually put that in my preview video of the 45. I was actually in the snow. But I didn't have an ice axe. It didn't need an ice axe in the woods. But
I put ice axes on this, and it fits very well. So it's kind of. Yeah.
Do you actually do anything that extreme yourself?
I'm a qualified mountain guide. Well, actually, British mountain leader, shall I be fair.
Wow.
I have a degree in outdoor education and environmental science, and I'm a qualified science teacher.
To look at him, folks, you would never know, but there we are. It's good to know. okay.
And so carry on around the bag. You obviously have reinforced base with the AW cover hiding there. On one side, you have the ability to take a hydration bladder, which is across the Flipside Sport family and Photo Sport family. Because of the size of this bag, it will take a 2-litre Camelback or Hydropack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know a lot of people are a little bit scared of using those. It's maybe a little bit new to photographers. You know, they're used to just taking a water bottle. Yeah. But this is the way forward. I've used bladders in various different guises for at least 15 years. I've never popped one once.
No.
And I've given them a lot of abuse.
And I mean, those products in themselves are tested to extremes.
Oh, yeah. They jump them. On the other side, you'll see our new way of loading tripods onto bags, which you'll see on the Rover Pro and the rest of the Flipside Sport family. This is quite a unique little system. It doesn't require the foot, which is on most camera bag designs, because you simply hook the legs over the top strap. You'll then see this Hypalon material, which allows grip, and then you can actually strap and lock the tripod down. Now, I work with quite a lot of mountain bike photographers who do a lot of off-camera flash work. Mm. And with this system, it allows you to take not only a standard tripod, but also a couple of lighting stands as well. You can just sort of load them all up there and then lock the whole system down on one side. And that's counterbalanced by your water on the other side.
And if you guys want to actually see what we're talking about with that design, obviously we'll send some links out in a minute. But obviously go to the LowPro site to check out the specs. But if you check out the pre-review of the Rover Pro 45, that is one of the features that I talk about on there. And I do have a tripod in situ, so you can see exactly how that flap system works.
So moving around to the back of the bag, you'll see that we've extended this idea of perforating the shoulder straps, making it ultra lightweight. Mm-hmm. We're trying to strip out the weight where it's not needed, but still providing comfort and protection for you and your camera equipment. We've got breathing channels, as you'd expect, on the back system. Not the trampoline system from the Rover Pro, but it's enough there to allow cool air to get around your back so you're not fully sweaty.
So is this, looking at this, we've got the perforated sort of padding, what have you. That is actually different to the 200 AW.
Yes, the 200 AW has that Lycra coating over the top of it. Everything is an evolution. So what we learned from the Photo Sport family, which remember, we started designing that over 2 years ago, the Photo Sport family, we're learning every step of the way, so we're enabled to put it into the latest design. So this is the latest incarnation of that back system.
Excellent. Good stuff.
Unzipping the zip on the back, it's obviously a flip side bag, so it has that whole flip side, you know, selling feature of when you take it off, the security wise, the zip's against your back. If you put it down, the bit that gets muddy is the front of the bag, not the back of the bag.
So can you just explain a bit, for those of you that don't know the flip side sort of philosophy, the idea of not having to totally remove the bag and how it works?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around in our portfolio for quite a few years now. The original flip side 200 and 300 were released for 5 years ago, and then followed by the 400 and the 500, and now the flip side sports. The flip side feature has three benefits. As I just said, obviously, security-wise, the zip's against your back. So if you're in a busy area, you're worried about security, no one can get to your camera equipment without going through you.
Yeah.
Secondly, if you want to take your camera bag off and put it down on a wet ground, muddy ground, park benches, stuff like that, the bit that gets actually dirty is either the AW cover or the front of the bag, not the bit which goes against your expensive Gore-Tex jacket.
Yeah.
And the third and fundamental design feature of Flipside is that when you're wearing it, and I'll just try and demonstrate it now.
Oh, if only we had visuals.
Oh, if only.
Probably best not.
As you see my muscles flex. Now, remember, the waist belt is not a fashion accessory, it's a design feature. We should always have the waist belt done up on backpacks to spread the load over the hip area. As long as that waist belt's done up relatively snugly, if you take the shoulder straps off one at a time, you can then swing the whole bag around the front and it gives you that platform to work with. You can either change a filter, put a new lens on, change your camera body. It's not a carrying solution, it's a working solution. So you wouldn't hike with it like that, but it, when you're in situ, allows you the opportunity to work within the bag.
And a lot of people might immediately think, well, hang on, you've got all that weight pulling down off the strap. My experience is actually you don't feel as though you're going to topple over. You don't feel as though it's just about to reach its breaking point or anything like that. It is reassuringly secure.
Yeah, I mean, I've tested it with, I mean, we've got the Flipside 500, and I've had a 500 f4 with a couple of D800s in the bag and a selection of other lenses. Yes, you wouldn't go running with it out in front of you. But you can change a lens, you can swap a body over. It's an in-situ scenario.
So a lot of you people that are out shooting events maybe, sort of like triathlons or anything like that, and you want to be on your feet and quick access, it's a great, great feature. So we've now got the bag open again, the zip's been undone. We're looking at the main compartment with the padding.
Okay, you're looking at, this is classic LowPro. This has been, we came up with this sort of interior, a modular interior, many, many years ago, and it's been copied by everyone on the planet. But it's what most photographers would recognise from the internals of a camera bag. And this is a good setup. It's set up with the ability to take a pro body or a body with a battery grip, and obviously a good selection of lenses. So it's completely modular. So you could have someone who's taking one body with a selection of primes, or one body with a healthy long lens in there and some speed lights and some pocket wizards. It could, you know, it's whatever you want to fit in there. It's modular.
So, I mean, in all the specifications of all your bags, there's a recommended load in there, sort of kit. So are we talking one camera body and say five lenses?
Yeah, it's a one body five lenses setup, but you get two bodies in there if needed. Mm-hmm. It's hard because remember, lenses are all completely different sizes. So it's kind of, do you go small, medium, large lenses? If you're a prime shooter, you can get a lot more lenses in there. You might be a nature or events photographer and you're dropping in a 150 to 500 on the side, so it's kind of, it's, that's why it's modular. I mean, yeah, but from a basic level, you're looking at a body and five lenses, plus a couple of accessories.
And we're a very resourceful bunch as well, you know, us photographers, yes. Especially the photographer outdoor types, because you're out in the field and you have nothing else around you other than what's on your back. So
indeed,
you want to tailor it to suit.
Remember, something which is worth considering with a bag like this is it may well be a camera interior. That doesn't mean it has to take camera equipment. So, I mean, quite often with these bags, you can split the actual section in half, drop in a two-lens setup, and then use the rest for a packed lunch or other day stuff, or overnight kit, a bivy kit. You know, it's not defined as camera equipment in its own right. It can be anything. It can be a stove.
So those of you listening who are avid wild campers and every gram matters, you're the sort that maybe breaks your toothbrush in half to save weight, you know.
Toothbrush luxury.
you just twig, don't you?
Yes.
And saliva from a starling.
Yes, indeed.
I think there's one other feature on this that is a standout.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty awesome, and we recognise that a lot of people are making investments in their camera bags, and we want them to work as much as they can for the user. And the whole camera section comes out. It's got an extra internal AW cover, which allows extra protection from spindrift snow, sand on a beach, grit. But also that allows you to actually compartmentalise all your camera equipment away and put it on a shelf or in a safe. And it's got its own little handles. So you just carry around like a little shoulder bag. And then the whole rest of the bag, the outside of the bag, becomes a bag in its own right.
Yeah, so for those of you that are into your travelling and you're at a hotel that has a safe, you'd be able to stash your camera gear away in the safe and just use that same, essentially, rucksack or backpack to go off for your day, just with one camera and a lens, and you're good to go. Yeah,
it just creates a modular system, modular approach. But it's just an awesome, great size. It's a grab and go bag. You know, it's the bag which, as an avid photographer, you would load up with your favourite setup, your favourite lens, your favourite body, and it's by the front door. You grab it and you go. You don't have to think about what you're carrying.
And again, just looking at a larger scale in the line with the Rover Pro 45 and the 35, it's a design feature that is shared in that you've got those pouches that you pull out.
Removable sections are important. We heard a lot of feedback, and we spend a lot of time listening to our consumers and working with focus groups around the world, finding out what they're using their bags for. And more often than not, they want to remove the camera compartment for various reasons, be it to use the bag in a different capacity or for security purposes.
So, okay, this is the new release for the show. This is the up to date. I know, as well as a lot of our listeners do, that, you know, what we are seeing now, as you've alluded to just now, is the result of maybe 2 years' development. There are bound to be ideas that you can't tell us about at the moment that are just, you know, otherworldly, I'm sure.
Certainly for your listeners, there is some very exciting products on the way. I mean, I was out in Snowdonia just a couple of weekends ago working with the World Trippers Guidebook. Some guys there doing a video project of the rivers along the A5. And I was dangling from a waterfall just outside Capel Curig using some very exclusive prototype technology from LowPro, which enables us to get in there and take some awesome shots of the waterfalls and kayakers going over those waterfalls.
You really are the all-action man, aren't
you? I am indeed, yes.
So, just as a general question, where do you think that backpack technology design is going to be, say, 5-10 years from now?
It's all about weight. We're trying to get our bags as lightweight and as multifunctional as possible. We recognise that they're an investment for a lot of people, and we need to justify that investment by giving them a bag which allows them to enjoy their photography and almost forget they're carrying it. The one thing we can't do is make camera equipment lighter. What we can affect is how light the bag is and the technology that goes into there, but it has to be reliable. And we're known as this trusted original brand. We've been around many, many years longer than all of our competition, and we have a reputation which we're very, very proud of. We have a limited lifetime warranty against all of our products, and we're proud of it. We'll back them all up to the hilt. So.
And just on a personal note, and I was talking to Natalie, one of your colleagues, just now. We're talking about my progression through photography, and many of you know I first picked up a camera when I was 8 and first got what I would call my first serious pictures probably when I was about 12 or something.
Were they really serious pictures?
To me they were. if you call photographing the dog in the garden artistically, you know.
Did you do it in black and white?
I did it on film. Do you remember film?
I remember that many years ago. Lomo, wasn't it? Yeah.
And yeah, so you've thrown me now. My very first my very first camera bag was from Argos. A lot of people in this country will know what Argos are. It's a high street store. But my very first, what I would call proper camera bag, was a compact AW. Do you remember those?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And then I got a Photo Trekker AW, and I've still got
That's
all
a big
of these.
Jump.
Yeah, it is, because I wanted to be a wildlife photographer at that time. And yeah, say I've still got all of these bags, and I've still got the Mini Trekker AW, one of the original ones. This is before it had the pouch to put your laptop in there. But as I say, I only ever talk to people whose products, you know, and review products that I actually believe in your products, and I can hand on heart say that I do, and they have stood the test of time. So those of you who are thinking that you need a new bag and you want something to last, I can honestly say give LowPro a good look, because they are fantastic. I know this, but you need to have a look for yourself. So, Tim, as ever, for me, it's been a pleasure. I'll let you maybe reserve comment on that one.
I'll see how you edit me afterwards.
Well, yeah, quite. I'll put some, you know, dramatic sounds in the back.
Go Gangnam Style on me, if you will.
Maybe some helicopters, like
yes,
Vietnam.
Yeah. Why the Valkyries could come
quite
in.
Quite right. So give us a link to wherever you want people to go to check out some stuff.
If you just go to lowpro.com, that's the global website, you'll see all the information there. The Flipside Sport 20 will be up there hopefully this week. It's actually not available in the UK yet or anywhere in the world. It should be hitting markets this month.
Okay.
So March 2013.
Lovely.
So great bag.
Good stuff. As ever, a pleasure, and I look forward to God, what's next year going to bring?
I try not to think about it.
Yeah, best not. Tim, thanks very much.
Cheers.
So I'm here on the Broncolor stand with Chris Burford, who is the UK sales manager for Broncolor Lighting. And Chris and I have just been having a chat about specifically a particular setup that they've got, which is called the Move. And I've been thinking about lighting solutions recently, and a lot of you know that I use lightweight equipment like speed lights, but of course there are sometimes when you need a bit more power and you want something that's going to be powerful enough to be out in the outdoors and in rough conditions. But you also need to make sure that it's up to the job. And so the Move is a product that I'm actually interested to hear a bit more about. So, Chris, we've got one in front of us here. Let's have a few basics, first of all.
Well, this is a brand new product from Broncolor. It's only just becoming available now. It's our new 1200 watt second, or joules, whichever you prefer, power pack. It's one of the smallest, lightest power packs on the market for its power. It's got two head outlets, so it's completely asymmetric, so you can put whatever power through whichever head you like. through the two heads, or you can turn them off individually. It's very fast recycling and flash duration. In fact, it fires at up to 20,000ths of a second at a reasonable sort of power. But of course, as you go up to full power, it gets a little bit slower than that, but still very fast enough for things like extreme sports, snowboarding, skiing, mountain biking, BMXing, skateboards, anything like that, or athletics, anywhere where you want to freeze action, or liquid motion, you know, if you're splashing water or paint around and you want to freeze it, absolutely perfect for that. The other thing is that it's fully colour stabilised, so right from the very lowest power right up to its highest power, and it in fact goes down to just over 4 joules or 4 watt seconds, right up to 1200, it's pretty stable through the colour temperature range all the way through, which is very unusual for a pack of that range.
Now, a lot of people listening will be aware of Broncolor as a brand. They may not have had access to it. It's one of those brands that a lot of people will aspire to have it as part of their kit, or even just to try it. A lot of people that follow the active photographer will be aware of Chase Jarvis over in the US. And you guys may have seen a video that he shot at a ski resort, photographing skiers going down some railings.
Absolutely. Show it quite often.
Absolutely. And in advance to that, I think it was at his studio, he showed some tests that he was running. And it was phenomenal. Just that it wasn't this unit that we've got here.
It was our Scorro unit, the mains powered one.
But the actual, it's just formidable, the recycling to allow constant sequences. Yeah. Obviously, Chris, when we're talking about travelling light, lighting equipment, whoever the brand, whatever the type of unit, that doesn't always go hand in hand. So how have you kind of got around the compromise, if we can call it that, between rugged design, and this has a rubberized finish here, the modern gizmo inside all that. How have you come up with this product?
Well, two things really. It was important that it was very light, and it actually only weighs 6.2 kilos with the battery. So it's actually very light, very portable. As you can see, it's very small. It's got sort of an A5 type footprint, so it's actually a very small unit, but it's supplied with a waterproof or weather resistant case, not exactly waterproof, but weather resistant case, which can be the pack can be actually used whilst in the case. So if you're working on the snow or on the beach or on sand or wet grass or anything like that, it's quite capable of handling that. Secondly, to carry it around, if you buy the one head or two head kit, it actually comes with a very nice backpack, which is also a trolley. So it's got an extending handle and wheels so that you can either wheel it or wear it on your back. So it is truly a very portable unit. For other Broncolor users, of course, it's fully compatible with all the Broncolor heads. So you can use any Broncolor head with it.
And that's the thing, it is an investment, and with any investment you're looking not only to get best value for your investment, for your money, but also you're looking to build up a kit. So, you know, we all have different lighting kits, but if you've got a Broncolor setup, it stands to reason that any money that you're going to be spending, everything should be compatible and what have you. So let's just turn this around and tell me a little bit about some of the unique features that are actually within this unit. One of the things I spoke to your colleague about just now was about triggering. Yeah. A lot of people know about pocket wizards and that sort of technology. Tell us a bit about what's actually involved here.
Okay, well, as far as triggering is concerned, you can either use a sync cable as normal, but if you want to use radio, you can put a pocket wizard unit into it if you want to, but it does have the Broncolor, what we call our RFS radio system, built into it. So the kits come with a transmitter which goes on top of your camera, which works at 30 or 40 meters, no problem at all, very accurately. It is also not only a trigger, but you can actually control the power up and down from the trigger. So if you're finding your headlights, your pictures are a little bit too bright, you can turn the power down without having to go back to the pack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and it's also got an optical slave cell as well. So if you're firing another flash, you can always fire it from that. Apart from that, on the left-hand side of the pack, you can see that you have the two up and down controls for each channel, one and two. These change in tenths of an f-stop. accurately digitally. But if you press and hold the button, it changes by one whole stop at a time, so you can change very quickly. The power dumps automatically through when you turn it down, so it's always ready. Has an audio beep to tell you it's fired and tell you it's ready charged again. It has modelling lamp control on the pack, and the heads that come with the Move unit have an LED modelling lamp, so they have very low battery draw. And they actually work with a small light for video.
And presumably the heat is kept down as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's set on a timer. You can have it on for just 10 seconds, or you can have it on for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or continuous. It's your choice. It's also got a slow charge mode called the Eco button. On the standard mode, it will give you about 170 full power flashes per battery charge, and it only takes 70 minutes to charge the battery.
That's so really quick,
very
actually.
Quick.
Yeah.
But if you put it on slow charge, if you're not shooting quickly, like if you're doing portraits or fashion or something like that, then it will give you 230 flashes per charge. But if you, as soon as you turn the power down, of course you turn the power down by one stop, it gives you twice the number of flashes. Yeah. Right down to the minimum power, well, it'll give you amazingly 50,000 flashes. Just
brilliant.
Incredible.
Wow.
Just amazing. On the right-hand side of the unit, you'll see there's an LCD screen, which has a very simple menu control. It tells you what power in joules you've got running through each head, and the flash duration. The flash duration can be changed either from optimum to minimum. As I said, at, from about 60-odd joules downwards, it fires at 20,000ths of a second, T0.5, so it will freeze pretty any motion you like. You can also set it to sequence, and at the fastest sequence speed, at the lowest power, you'll get 30 flashes per second.
I mean, those are statistics, and a lot of people listening do love their statistics.
Yeah.
There is so much there to sink your teeth
Absolutely.
Into. I have to say, a lot of people listening, if they've been following the Active Photographer for a long time, they'll know that one of my pet peeves with any product is over-engineering, where people add too many bells, whistles, zips, pulleys, buttons, what have you. From what I can tell, and this is the first time I've seen this unit, as well as its rugged design, from what I can tell, the buttons are very practical.
Yep.
They're rubberized buttons, which when you're wearing gloves or when you're in adverse weather, where it's a bit cold or what have you, it just, on the surface, it just makes sense.
Yep.
And I think that's, I've known Broncolor, or of Broncolor, for some years and what have you, but to a lot of people that hearing about you guys for the first time, that's probably going to be something that's going to be impressive, is the fact that you've thought out your design.
It's actually designed by a photographer.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Broncolor actually design everything with a photographer in mind. So it's all done. It's not just somebody thinking, oh, well, this is what photographers need.
Yeah.
It's actually a photographer saying, this is what I need.
So, okay. If people want to find out a bit more about you guys and about the units that we're talking about and just your whole range, and bear in mind we've got light modifiers, soft boxes and different heads and what have you, where should they go?
Well, of course, we do all the standard accessories plus some very unique accessories which are particular to the Broncolor range. Thing to remember also that it's all Swiss made. Everything is handmade in Switzerland, so it's of the very highest quality. The Move pack is extremely competitive in the marketplace, being quite a lot less expensive than its nearest competitor. Still owned by the factory, owned by Mr. Bron, who still runs the factory as a family business, and they've been going for many, many years.
That's really nice to hear, actually, in this industry.
That's right.
So
it's there's a Swiss website, which is just broncolor.com, or we have our own UK site, which is ukbroncolor.com, and you'll find all the downloads for brochures, for technical spec, for examples, for images, and all the details on there. And also a way of contacting us, because we do offer a service where we will come and do demonstrations actually in photographer studios, because we realise it's an expensive product, it's something that we pride ourselves on, the service that we give. We have our own UK service department, which is Broncolor authorised, we'll look after our customers from start to finish.
That's a really nice point to end on, I think, because I wasn't aware that it's, sort of family owned, what have you. And, I am a big fan of yes, we need the kits to see us through our work and what have you, but when you realise that it's not some international chain and it's all about groups and partners and what have you, when it's, you know, I think that's really nice to hear. So I will put all those links in the show notes as usual, but for now, Chris, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Hope your readers or listeners enjoy it.
Thank you. I am back on the Damon stand here, and I'm actually stood by Giotto's tripods, and I have with me Mark Hoskins, who is category manager for Giotto's. And a lot of you may or may not know the brand Giotto's. You probably do, you just didn't realise. And there's an increasingly growing following for these products, Mark.
Absolutely. Tripods are essential in photography for obviously keeping your camera stable whilst you're making your image. More and more we're seeing people want to get involved in the type of photography where a tripod is necessary. And as a result, we're seeing a huge increase in the number of people interested in buying quality products.
And this is one of the things that, you know, many people get in touch with me off, you know, asking for advice and what have you. And there was a time, going back a few weeks, where someone that I've known for some time through Twitter and what have you, was trying to do, I forget what he was trying to do, but some bizarre kind of convoluted way of hanging something upside down or clamping something to something. And I said to him, I thought you had a tripod. Oh yes, it's only a cheap one. And that therein is the problem, is that, you know, people will spend hundreds, thousands of pounds on their cameras and their lenses and what have you, but they'll go and get a cheap tripod. And I'm always saying to people, just buy it once and it will last. It will, you know, don't scrimp on getting a decent, at the end of the day, if you're trying to keep your camera solidly rooted, you need to look at a decent tripod.
Absolutely. We work with a lot of professional photographers who use our equipment, and they lead workshops, and they regularly talk about clients who turn up with very expensive equipment, Canon and Nikon, Sirius glass, the most expensive camera bags you can find, and they turn up with a 20 or 30 pound tripod and wonder why they're not getting sharp images. A stable tripod is essential to help you get sharp images. It's a common misconception, I think, these days as well, that high ISOs mean that tripods aren't needed. And to a degree, they're right. For shooting indoors, sports events, concerts, absolutely, you can get away with a high ISO.
We'll carry on talking. We're used to the tannoy, so this is, there we go.
But shooting outdoors, shooting landscape, shooting with neutral density filters is really popular these days. And to do that, high ISO will just lead to image quality problems. So people still want to shoot with low ISO. Therefore, longer exposures mean you need a tripod. You can't escape that fact.
And of course, you have a wide range of tripods here. But where we're stood, I think it's a good place to start. You know, you have the tripods, you have the legs there, but you also have the heads, which are matched to various sets of legs here. Looking at them, and when you know, I've just been having a little fiddle with these heads, and the gearing on them, the rubberized knobs at the side that you use to control the various axes, they are very firm and a nice feel to them.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the key thing about putting your camera on the tripod is to get a solid connection. So our tripods and our heads are all designed to offer the best stability possible. We have obviously lots of different designs and types of heads because obviously not everyone uses the same type of camera. There are lightweight DSLRs out there, Micro Four Thirds, things like the Olympus OMD has led to people wanting to buy smaller tripods, smaller heads. But yeah, I mean, the head is the critical part of the tripod setup in terms of it's the bit that allows you to position the camera to point it at what you want to do. So making a head that's easy to operate and firm and solid once you've actually got it in position, you want to lock it off and you want to know your camera's not going to move. So all of our products are designed to obviously offer the best stability they can.
Now, of course, a great many of the listeners who are hearing this are avid outdoors photographers. And one of the considerations there is you want to be comfortably carrying your kit when you're out and about. And one of the biggest advances in tripod technology in recent years has been carbon fibre. And looking at your range here, am I right in thinking that they're not all now carbon fibre, or are they sort of two-thirds of them are? Or?
The Giotto's range of tripods consists of a mix of aluminium and carbon fibre tripods. Carbon fibre is very popular. It's a nice lightweight material. It reduces the weight of a tripod, therefore it makes it more comfortable to carry over any distance, let alone long distances. We make a range of tripods in different sizes as well, so we have different weight capacities, different maximum heights, and usually within the range of products that we offer, you know, either with an aluminium tripod or a carbon fibre tripod, we have something that will suit most people's requirements.
And looking at, I think I'm right in saying, your whole range here, they all have padded, whether it's hand warmer panels, whatever you want to call them, they have this padding at the top of the legs.
Absolutely, yeah. Our new Silk Road series of tripods that really has been shown here at Focus for the first time. All of the tripods have a foam grip at the top of each of the leg sections. It's not so much of an issue on the carbon fibre, but obviously on aluminium tripods, certainly when you're operating in cold temperatures, the aluminium does get very cold, and obviously what we want to avoid are any of our customers having that dumb and dumber moment where they they pick an aluminium tripod up and they can't put it down.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they do it on our stand and that happens, they have to buy it. So.
But it's, you know, we do joke, but of course regular listeners will know that, you know, through the winter months I've been out in all sorts of temperatures, and if you can make your experience and your time out and about, you know, easier and more comfortable, then that's going to be a great thing. So I don't know if you want to speak specifically about a particular product here, or we can just sort of go down the line here, because they're, like as we've said before, they're different sizes, and of course the heads have to be matched to the different sets of legs.
Absolutely. I mean, the key thing with our tripod series is that when anyone buys a tripod, there are lots of variables that come into play, and usually the choice of which tripod you choose becomes a bit of a compromise between whether you want a really lightweight tripod to carry or you want a really stable tripod. Mm. The trouble with stable tripods is they're heavy,
yeah. So
they're a pain to carry. The trouble with some lightweight tripods is that they're not as stable. Mm. So we offer, as I say, a variety of sizes, 5 kilogram, 8 kilogram, 10 kilogram weight capacities. A variety of functions, so standard vertical up and down columns. At the moment, very popular are our tripods with a three-dimensional center column, which allows you to use the tripod very low to the ground, so perfect for macro photography. There's a lot of interest in macro photography at the moment.
I was just about to say, a lot of people have got in touch saying, you know, that's what they love. And when I first started in photography many years ago, one of the things that I turned to was macro, because I loved it. It was like a different world being able to get that close.
Absolutely, and it's something as well that can people can do indoors. Mm. Obviously, it's great to go out and find all sorts of wonderful things to photograph outdoors. Mm. But equally, you know, the weather we've had in the past, even the last summer, over the winter, macro photography is a great thing that you can set up and you can do indoors. Mm. Especially when it's dark outside, you can set up inside with a couple of speed lights, a tripod, tabletop set, and you can create some stunning images.
And looking at these tripods that we've got here, we're talking about getting low to the ground. What is the actual mechanism that your tripods have? Because there are different designs that enable people to get that perspective, but are yours sort of essentially based within the legs, the top sections of the legs?
Absolutely. Our tripods at the top of each leg have a small clip that allows you to adjust the leg angle settings between what we would consider to be the folded setting, obviously you would use when the tripod is being carried, and then we have three other preset settings, the widest of which basically puts the tripod flat on the floor with the three legs in effect spread eagled. The products we then have with the three-dimensional center column allows you to fully extend the center column vertically and then flip it over into, in effect, a horizontal position. Mm-hmm. It can be locked in that position, can be rotated. So it allows you to get really, really very, very low down to the ground.
And I think, you know, technology is wonderful, But people shouldn't get bogged down with technology. They should be there for the love of their photography. But I think this just goes back to the whole point of choose your kit wisely, buy products that actually will last. And certainly with tripod, it is an investment. And you have such a vast range here that there has got to be something that is perfectly suited to everyone.
Absolutely. Tripods are, although there's no engine to them, there's no electronics to them, tripods are mechanical bits of kit. And like anything that's mechanical, if you look after it, it will look after you. So if you spent the day on the beach, salt water, sand, then don't be frightened to stick the tripod in your bath when you get home and spray it with the shower. Get rid of all that muck, get rid of all that dust. Dry it off with a towel and leave it somewhere warm to dry overnight. And you do that with a tripod and it will look after you, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, I know that you have to get on and go back with your colleagues to pack things up and what have you. Let's have as a parting thought, if you want to give out a website or a web link or something that people can go to.
Absolutely. The full range of product can be found at giottostripods.co.uk.
And just to explain, Giottos is spelled G-I-O-T-T-O-S.
That's correct, yes. You'll find information on all our products. We have a new section on there. If you need to contact us, you have any questions, there's there are contact phone numbers and there's an email contact facility in there as well. So lovely. If you have any support questions, whatever they are, then yeah, let us know.
Lovely. Well, thank you for taking the time out to talk with me. It's always a pleasure to touch base with so many of the people at this show. I think it's really good. I know the feedback is that listeners appreciate the access that they get, and of course the next best thing to actually being at the show is to hear from people such as yourselves that can actually talk a bit in a very down-to-earth manner about not just the products that you're trying to explain to people, but also the general wider picture for photography. So on that note, Mark, thank you very much, and we'll catch up soon, I'm sure.
Thank you very much.
Remember, you can check out all the show notes to this and other Focus on Imaging specials, as well as the regular weekly shows, at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.